actually, that's what we're doing, right? You want to have somebody in your life that you can run with, that you can jump with, somebody that is going to have your back. That's the way to do life. There was somebody who did not have my back. It was my English high school teacher. She did not have my back. I never got above a C on any paper I had ever written. And I thought I could write pretty good. In fact, there was this one time specifically, I remember staying after class and she was showing me all the red marks on the paper. And there were comments like, Julie, you could have said this, you know, in one paragraph instead of three, you know. And she didn't say, oh, you can't write. She didn't say that, but she might as well have said that, because that is exactly the message that I received from her. And I was just like, oh, okay. So I can't write. So that's been in my head, you know, since high school. And about 4 years ago, I felt the Lord leading me to write a book. And so I went, nope, not going to do it. Not me. Not this girl. That is way too hard. And if you remember, C is the highest grade here. So no, not going to do that. Well, guess what? I'm writing a book. Yes, so we see how that went, right? And I thought, well, I better learn. And so I started going to some writers' conferences and to learn about the publishing world and just to really learn how to write. You know, I mean, who's really written, unless it's your job, you know, since high school? And so I met some really great people at these conferences. And I was at one, and I'll never forget, you know what it's like when you go to a conference, right? Whether it's for work, your brain is ready to explode. Am I right? I mean, by the end of the conference, you are so fried. You're like, I don't know if I've, you know, retained anything. And it was in that moment at a conference where I remember sitting there thinking, second guessing myself. I'm like, you know what? You are not doing this. Like, you really are in over your head. There is no way that you're going to be able to do this. And a month ago, I had met a gal named Denise, and we exchanged information, and we never had talked yet or exchanged any emails or anything like that. And so after this particular session ended, I got a ding, and it was like, it didn't say you've got mail, because that's like ancient, right? But it was the notification of I had mail. And so I was checking my emails, and there Denise had sent me an email. And in the email, she basically was encouraging me. And I was like, this is interesting timing. And she just shared about how she went and she looked at, you know, some of my blog posts. And at the end of her email, it literally said, Julie, I encourage you to keep writing and pursuing this ministry that God has given you. And I thought, okay, that is exactly what I needed at that moment, because I was ready to be like, yeah, I'm not doing this at all. Encouragement is such a powerful thing. And that's the reason I share it, is because that's where we're going today. We're going to be talking about encouragement, the power that it has to break these strongholds that we have on our life and to really energize us to keep moving towards freedom. My name is Julie Buchtenkirk. I'm a volunteer here at Cross Point, and I do have several strongholds. And you have several strongholds, right? I have no doubt, because it is a normal thing. And here's a stronghold. It is the untrue belief that we've accepted is truth. You know, whether consciously or subconsciously, it's a lie that we believe is true. And it holds us back from what God has for us and for the life that he has designed us and wants us to live, a life of freedom and joy and peace, right? Minus guilt and shame. And so if you're joining us for the first time today, whether it is by, you know, video or venue, we are just so glad that you're here. And I have to include you, right? So you have a stronghold. I'm just doling them out now, like Oprah. You have a stronghold. You get a stronghold. You get a stronghold. But we all do, right? We have some area in our life that holds us back. And so we've been trying to identify these and work through these. And if you don't have a guidebook, it is not too late for you. okay? You can still begin this journey of freedom because it's through the activities in the book where you start to zero in on the stronghold, the lie that you believe, and you work through that. And so if you don't have one, no problem. We still have guidebooks. So you can actually put something on your connection card, or you can reach out to us through crosspointweb.org, and we will hook you up, okay? Because freedom is a good thing. Who wants to be free? We all want to be free. I came across a definition by a Christian author and theologian. His name is Roger Nicole, and I love his definition of freedom. He said it's the ability to fulfill one's destiny, to function in terms of one's ultimate goal. In other words, and then he like explains it for us. In other words, Christ's death on the cross freed us to become the people our Creator designed us to be. God intends for us to be vessels of his love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, and goodness. He has ordained us to be ambassadors of his truth, justice, forgiveness, and hope. That is some good stuff. That is where we're headed. We're identifying and breaking through these lies that we believe. And the lies are typically fall into one of these four categories, okay? Anger, rejection, fear, and pride. Most of the issues that we have in life can be traced back, if we unpack them, to one or multiples of these. You know, I mean, why have one area of bondage when you can have four, right? I mean, more is more. I know in my small group, when we shared this, you know, in one of our weeks, all of us were like, well, I kind of have two, you know? I mean, we had to tally them, and it was like they're pretty close to each other, and that is normal, right? I mean, Kurt earlier said, well, yeah, I have them in every area, you know? So we do. We have these strongholds in each area. And when it comes to breaking them, one thing is we know to be true, and that is you can't do it on your own. You know, rarely is a stronghold broken without some form of help coming, you know, from the outside. I mean, that's why we have support groups, right? That's why we have therapy and counselors and accountability partners and mentors. Because the simple act of putting courage into someone can change the trajectory of their life. And that's what courage is, okay? To encourage someone, the prefix in is in, and so you are literally putting courage into someone when you encourage them. And whenever I hear the word courage, I can't help it. I go to the scariest movie ever made, The Wizard of Oz. Generations of adults are still having nightmares of flying monkeys. And we're still showing this kid to children, right? We're still showing this movie to them. But the cowardly lion wanted courage, right? Well, even as a kid watching this movie, I mean, courage is not anything bottled up, right? You can't physically give it or hand it to somebody. And when the wizard gave him the badge, I remember even thinking as a kid, like, well, what's that gonna do? You know, that's not gonna get it done. I mean, I knew enough to know that it was like, that isn't enough. But it wasn't about the badge, right? It was about pouring courage into him. And the wizard reminded him, you know, look at how far you've come on this journey and this scary journey with your friends, and you've been there for them, and you're here, and you've made it. So he literally poured courage into him, and that was how he got courageous. This week, in your guidebook, in your journal, you're gonna be channeling your inner Wizard of Oz. Okay, you are going to be doling out some serious encouragement to people. So two big ideas with this, because you might be thinking, well, I've never been an encourager. It doesn't come naturally to me. I'm not quite sure what to say to people. How do I do that? You and I were made for this, okay? Trust me on this. And two reasons. Okay, the first is that God has freed us so that we can put courage into others. You know, God is always about the person still needing to be free. He is always about pursuing the lost. He leaves the 99 to find the one, right? He is constantly drawing people to him that are still in bondage and need to be free. And the amazing thing is that he asks us, he wants to use us to be a part of helping others find freedom. Have you ever seen two little kids and they're helping each other? You know, I mean, you've probably seen something on YouTube or Instagram, you know, imagine the little kindergartners, one's helping the other tie the shoe, and it's like, you just learn how to tie your shoe. How are you helping somebody else tie your shoe? And it's just like precious. Or maybe you have children and you've seen them helping each other and it just melts your heart. And this time of the year, just make sure you got Kleenex in the living room, right? Because what's coming? All these sappy ads. I'm telling you, they're coming for you. And it's usually about people somehow coming into one another's life and being there for each other. Even grown adults, when we see people helping another person, it pulls on something in us. And I think it's really because what we're seeing acted out is you're seeing Jesus. That's what you're seeing. Because Jesus needs to use us as vessels. We're his hands and feet. And so when we see people helping each other, encouraging one another, I mean, that's the power of community. That's the power of encouragement. You just heard how we're going to have baptism coming up, okay? Well, maybe you've thought about being baptized, but you just haven't done it yet for whatever various reasons. Maybe you're just nervous or scared. You don't want, you know, people seeing you or, you know, that's fine. And that's totally understandable. But we do not want you to miss out, okay, on that step of your faith. It is a powerful, powerful thing. So if we can encourage you and come alongside you and give you that oomph that you might need to take that step to be baptized, bring someone with you. How cool is that? I mean, you literally can. You know, if there's been someone in your life who's made a difference, I mean, no matter who it is, if it's a friend, a coworker, you know, one of your parents, you know, you can actually walk this holding their hand. You know, they can be with you, you know, in the tub, which is just a really funny visual all of a sudden, because I'm just like picturing, you know, Pastor Kurt in there and the person being baptized and, you know, you've brought like three friends and then they've brought some friends and, you know, we can't do that, but we can totally encourage you, okay, that you can do this and bring someone with you if you need to. Okay, so God's freed us so that we could put courage into other people. The second big idea is when you help others get free, you experience more freedom. It seems crazy, like, well, if I'm still kind of sort of in bondage and working through things, I'm not totally free in this area, and now I'm going to try to help somebody else. If you've ever noticed, God's ways are just not our ways. Ugh. Often the way he does things is just counterintuitive, right? I mean, it's paradoxical. I don't know if that's a word. Somebody check. I think it might be a dinosaur, but it sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, the way he works is just so paradoxical. You know, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The more you give, the more that you receive. The more that you obey what God asks you to do, the more freedom that you begin to walk in. And so when you begin to help others get free, something happens, right? You begin to get free. Matthew, Jesus actually tells his followers in Matthew 10:8, he says, hey, freely you received, now freely give. Go, do for other people. You've seen what it's like to be free, to be free from the lies and the untruths. You know, share that. And when we take our eyes off of ourselves and we begin to pour into other people and focus on other people, something is unlocked in the spiritual realm. And I don't know how it works, but it's the paradoxical way that God works, right? So we experience more freedom by helping others get free. So how are we going to do this? You're like, once again, I'm not an encourager. You know, could you give me a list? Is there some nice things I can say? You know, what do I do? Well, you actually kind of, sort of, have a tiny bit of a list in your guidebook. So this week, as you get into that, there's actually verbiage that you can use to people who might be in one of those areas of like the anger or the pride. There's words there that you can use, examples of how to encourage and minister to somebody. So the guidebook is going to do that for you. But there's other things. Okay, here are some ways that we are going to help others get free through encouragement. Okay, this is something we can all do, the first one. And that is basically share our stories and share our scars, which is hard to do sometimes, you know? But scars signal something. Scars show that there has been healing. When I was 9 years old, I flew off of one of these merry-go-round things and I split my back open. They no longer have these at the parks, by the way. But it was like one of those things you sat on. And I flew off, my cousin was spinning it, and I landed on a pile of glass, and it literally just split my back wide open. And so to this day, I still have a scar right, you know, down my back. And it doesn't bother me at all, because when I see it, I do remember. I mean, I'm like, man, that really hurt. Gosh, I remember what that was like. But it's healed now. The pain is gone. And when we see scars, it shows, right, that healing has taken place. You've gotten to the other side of the pain. And that's really what we all want, right? That's what we need when we're trying to pursue freedom. In fact, some people can only believe things are possible if they see the scars, right? They want proof that, okay, can I do this? Is this legit? In fact, one of Jesus' closest followers named Thomas, which you probably recognize the name, Doubting Thomas, right? There's an encounter that he had with Jesus, and it's recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. I want to read it to you. It says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see his hands, the marks made by the nails, and put my finger into the nail prints, and put my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, though they were behind closed doors, which is kind of funny. Like, they pointed that out, you know, kind of like we're imagining, like, oh, he walked through the doors. I just think it's kind of interesting that they put that in there. So though, you know, to like show, wow, he really is powerful. He can go through a closed door. And stood among them, and he said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach out your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless and incredulous, but believe. And Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. My bad. Here's one of Jesus' closest followers, right? This guy lived with him, talked with him, ate with him, heard his teaching, saw miracle after miracle after miracle, and he was somehow still held back by this lie. And the lie was that he didn't believe that Jesus could do what he said he was going to do. And that was rise again. And this is still a lie for many of us. I know for me, this is a lie in certain areas of my life. Do I really believe that Jesus can do what he said he can do, or what he told me he's going to do? And it wasn't until he saw Jesus' scars that he was able to turn from doubt and fear to hope and belief. So your scars are like courage to somebody. Your story, the things that you have been through and overcome in your life, that is now a lifeline to somebody else. I want you to take a look at the screens. I want to share just a short clip of a story. And this is a story about someone who basically was encouraged by someone, and now they encourage others.
I have a lot of memories from when I was a child. One that's always stuck out to me, though, was when I was about 10 years old and I was in school and I struggled. And I didn't struggle with English, math, or science. I struggled holding still. And I would try to listen and focus and process ideas, but I couldn't help myself. And to be honest, I would sit there and then I would just start tapping. And the students in the class would look at me and they'd say, "Hey, stop tapping." A lot of the time, I didn't even realize I was doing it. And then eventually even the teachers got after me and they would yell at me and they'd say, "Clint, you have to stop tapping." It got so bad that I got sent to the principal's office for tapping. And he said to me, "Okay, maybe when you go back to class, just try sitting on your hands." And so I did. I went back to class, and when I felt myself starting to tap, I did this. I sat on my hands. And that worked for about 5 seconds. One time I was tapping in class, and my teacher, Mr. Jensen, he looked at me and he yelled. And he said, "Clint, stay after class." And I thought to myself, this is it. I am done. Now, I've always been the type of person that believes that a single moment in time can change a person's life. And this was one of those moments for me, and I will never forget it. And so I was sitting there with Mr. Jensen and an empty classroom. And he walked past me and he sat next to his desk and he said, "Clint, come here, I want to talk to you." And as he looked me right in the eye, he said, "Now, I need you to know something, you're not in trouble, but I do have just one question that I have to ask you." And he asked, he said, "Have you ever thought about playing the drums?" And in that moment, Mr. Jensen, he leaned back and he opened the top drawer of his desk. And he reached in and he pulled out my very first pair of drumsticks. And he held them in his hands and he looked at me and he said, "Hey, Clint, you're not a problem. I think you're a drummer." Moment on, I've never put those sticks down. I've toured, recorded, and played drums all over the world. My whole college education was paid for with drumsticks in my hand. Just because of a single moment in time when somebody believed in me and he saw something in me that I didn't even see within myself. And from that moment, I learned that there's a difference between being the best in the world and being the best for the world.
That is just awesome. And I am telling you what, that quote, there's a difference between being the best in the world and being the best for the world. That'll preach. Not today, but that will definitely preach. That is something that we would do well to remember. But I want to point out something. Here's what I don't want you to miss, okay? Here's this little boy named Clint. And I can't remember what age, but he's really young. And he is already, okay, being pulled into a stronghold. He is already starting to believe a lie about his value and about his worth, that he is a problem, that he is disruptive, that he is unwanted. And it took somebody on the outside to reach in and show him the truth. You know, in one moment, like he said, of encouragement, changed the trajectory of his entire life. And now he's able to go and do that for probably countless of other people. And so share your stories, share your scars with people. That's a way that we can help others get free, because that's encouraging. That gives them hope. Another way that we can help others get free through encouragement is to be willing to get in the cage with them. Okay. So this is beyond sharing your story, because obviously you can share your story in front of people and that could be it. This is like the people you do life with, okay? This is those you interact with on a daily basis. You know, being willing to help them get free means that we kind of have to be in the cage with them. And I say cage because when we believe things that aren't true, right, and we're restricted, I mean, we might as well kind of be in a cage. We're imprisoned, right? And who knows that when we operate out of lies, outages, strongholds in our life, we can be all sorts of crazy, all right? I mean, this is why my husband does counseling. I mean, well, not because of me, but this is why my husband is a counselor. But when we operate, we do things, right? Our behavior is affected by the lies and the things that we believe. So when you're willing to get in a cage with someone and help them, it's just going to require a little bit more from you. It's going to require time. You know, if you are a part of a small group experience, then you've taken time. You've intentionally, you know, been meeting with people, coming alongside them, and sharing stories and helping one another get free, right? So you've made that a priority. You know, I mean, there are lots of areas that we can get into the cage with people, and it's just going to cost us something. We may have to be more forgiving. You know, when you see somebody operating, their behavior is a result of a lie that they believe, you know, we may have to extend more forgiveness to them. We may have to have a little bit more patience. And we can encourage them by reminding them of the truths, that I love you just the way you are. You don't need to accomplish these great things. You are worthy. You are valued. Third way that we can help others get free through encouragement is pointing them to Jesus, right? The author and finisher of our freedom. You know, going to the cross so that we can live a life of true freedom to where we are made right with God. So we don't have to live condemned and guilty and feeling shameful. And so we can point others to that same freedom. We've been referencing Hebrews 10, verse 24 throughout this journey. It's going to appear again in your guidebook this week, but I want to spend just a minute or two, okay, looking at the context of this passage. Because when we read this, and if we don't know who this is written to or why it was written, I think it comes across as just a really feel-good passage. Right? Like, yes, let's do some good deeds and let's help each other, you know, remind each other to do good things. When in fact, the whole book of Hebrews was written to a group of Jewish believers who were like ready to chuck it all. It was written between 43 and 100 AD, so it wasn't that long after Jesus' resurrection. And so there were people still living that had heard about it, possibly seen it. And they were growing weary in their faith because at this particular point in time, the believers' persecution was now entering the early church. And so they're growing weary. They're ready to chuck it all and just go back to Judaism, you know, which was the Mosaic law, all the rules, all the regulations. You know, they didn't necessarily have the strength to continue in this new faith. They were tempted. And so the writer of Hebrews is trying to put courage into them to continue to believe. And he does it by stressing the importance of community and encouragement. So I'm going to read it again for us. It says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." You know, this passage isn't about just encouraging each other to bring, you know, tuna casseroles to your neighbor. This passage isn't about checking a box on Sunday morning. Oh, it says here that, okay, I have to let's not give up meeting together. Oh, that means going to church. And let's see, some are in the habit of doing, they're falling away, they're not going to church. Okay, I can't be like them. Jesus never preached synagogue going to church. That is not what this was about. This was not let's give up going to church together. This was about the people that were falling away were the people who were falling away from the faith, that weren't able to stand. And so the author is saying, hey, the only way you are going to make this through, I'm telling you, is if you have community and you have encouragement. You have to remind yourself of what you believe. You have to remind the people in your life of what you believe. Because we all go through points of doubt. We all go through times where we go, are you kidding me? And unless you're in community, unless you do have some people in your life who are going to encourage you and remind you, it's going to be very difficult. You know, so this is still true for us. You know, 2,000 plus years later, you know, the message is still the same. If you want to keep growing, if you want to develop roots so that you can stand, then you need to have people in your life who are going to be a champion, okay, of your faith. There's just no room, all right, in the Christian walk for a lone wolf.
This for friends and family.
Chaz Michael Michaels walks it alone.
That's why they call me the lone wolf on my back there.
5.9.
There's just no room for that. There is no room for a lone wolf, right? A lone wolf is the person who goes off and says, well, I don't need anybody. My faith is my own. I can follow Jesus the way I want to. You know, it's private. That's the complete antithesis of what Jesus had in mind. So you can't be a lone wolf. And maybe you're a lone wolf the other way. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, I can't do that, Faith. That's just way too hard. I'm not going to be able to do that on my own. And you don't have to. You don't have to try to do this thing on your own. Okay, so promise me that you will not be a lone wolf. Because here's the thing, okay, I did some wolf research. Lone wolves are really not lone wolves. Now, they call them lone wolves because they leave the pack, but they leave the pack for a purpose. They leave the pack because they either have to find a mate or they need to find a better place to live. The food is scarce, so they leave the pack to go do that. But you know what the ultimate goal is for a lone wolf? Community. The ultimate goal is to get the new pack going. So even wolves are wired for community, okay? We are wired for community. That role of spiritual encouragement in your life can be the thing that keeps you from giving up your faith. And maybe you encouraging somebody else, right? You actually are going to encourage and help somebody else to maybe come to faith for the first time. So this week, okay, in your guidebooks, you're actually on one of these pages going to make a list of people in your life that come across your mind, people that you think you want to encourage them. And if you don't have a guidebook, you can still, even now, right, begin to think of who's in my life that I can encourage, that needs to be encouraged. You know, who is in my life that I really need to be willing to get into the cage with them? And you might be thinking, you know, this is great, but I still have stuff I need to work through. I get that. We all do. I mean, freedom is a continual journey. It is not a flip of the switch. You do not get there overnight. And once you get there, let me tell you, there's going to be another bump in the road. So it's a continuous journey. And it's back to that idea of when you pour into other people, okay, when you help others get free, you begin to experience more freedom. So I want to pray for us. If you can stand, and I just want to like pray for us before we kind of close out here, that God is just gonna help us and show us. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would infuse us, first of all, with encouragement. That, Lord, you long for us to be free. You long for us to identify the things in our life that are holding us back, the lies that we believe. So, Lord, we just ask you to show us what we need to break free from. And, Lord, help us to encourage others. Help us to look outside of ourselves. Lord, help us to be in community so that we can be encouraged. And so that we can encourage others. Because, Lord, we know you have amazing things in store for us. And you can't wait to lead us, Lord, to the next place. And you are the author of freedom. And you have it for us. And we just pray all of this in your name and in the character In the name of Christ, amen.